kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper.
This is Joe Bob Briggs.
This is Jeffrey Combs.
Hey, this is Scotty in from Anthrax.
Hi, you're listening to Adrienne Barbeau.
Hi, this is Doc Bradley. You're listening to Quality Time.
You're listening to Quality Time.
Quality Time Broadcast.
And you're listening to Quality Time.
Quality Time Podcast.
I'm saying this under duress.
You better keep listening or I will tear your soul apart.
Super itchy. Can you offer me some advice?
Itchy?
Yeah. She's,
head to toe.
She's having
cold,
some dry...
cold weather. I am head to toe itchy like never before.
And we've been,
I don't
like...
know. I never get itchy. Have you ever tried like a big long knife?
I might try that. Thank you. Should I use like the butcher knife or should I use the paring knife?
You ever use like one of those... stones for your feet, calluses, but
stone.
Over your entire body.
Jeremy, like a pumice I'm getting stone? Moist. I don't know if we should keep talking about this.
Just pumice stone her entire body. That's
do you
what
think you could make like an entire gallon worth of skin within a week?
We didn't catch what you said there, Ash.
I don't want to talk no more.
Oh, okay.
She was making that look like my wife looks when she hears one of my songs about my problems.
Well, you know, one of the things that I wanted to add to the Quality Time merch line was, of course, bottled Jeremy skin. But like, you know how, okay, so like Jack Daniels, right? They have like the Jack Daniels that goes out, but then they have like the high-end brands where it's like this has been aged and this is like a single barrel. So that is what I like to call the pure Jeremy. And what I think is that when we go mass production, what we do is like a blend where we have like a small amount of Jeremy and then mostly Ashley like in it. And we'll call that, well, that'll be like the main line, like the bestseller. But you got to make them cough up the big bucks to get like that pure oak barrel aged Jeremy.
So what part of the mix is Ashley in it?
Huh? She's in the mass consumption one. Although I didn't really think about it. We're going to have to step your psoriasis game up. I know you don't have any yet, but we've been looking into technology to give you some.
No, I love it. I did tag Eric yesterday. Somebody had a video that instead of doing the Yule log fire on your TV, you can just have Darth Vader roasting on fire.
Oh, that's really nice. Watching his legs just crisp up to a nice char. Yeah.
Can I suggest something for all the viewers and you guys?
No. This is not officially carried by the Quality Time Podcast. But Jeremy, yeah, go ahead.
I got to see the documentary on ID about the Lobster Boy. Okay. And the Lobster Boy who actually murdered somebody.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, he's like the freak. He was in like a circus sideshow, right? But
yeah,
he actually did some real murder. He would actually kill people.
No, he got in a fight with somebody, and no, this guy was going to marry his daughter, so he ended up like shooting him in the back.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus. And he was married to some other freak show lady, Carney, as well. That I think.
Yeah,
he
she
murdered.
Was like the fire lady, or the electric lady that would work with electricity live, kind of like Guar Woman has been doing for the last 10 years.
Come here. So... The only thing that could tame this electric lady is the water from the Lobster Boy's fins.
But the star of the documentary is his son, who. Who, when you realize it's his son, but he kind of looks like a super carny version of, like, maybe, say, Ronnie James Dio or something. Where,
He's holy diving this thing?
He looks like, if you think in your mind's eye of what a carny should look like, he's definitely what a carny looks like.
Hell but yeah.
He's the Lobster Boy's son with the same exact kind of appendages as he has.
Oh, God.
And how his father would abuse him and actually punch him with his lobster hands. And he's like, oh yeah. And you look at the way these things look. They hurt. They hurt.
Oh,
do you want to know what it's like getting punched by a lobster man hand? Exactly how you fucking think it does. It's like my life was a Dragon Ball.
I love that you boys have also taken this opportunity to once again remind me that there are weird and disgusting people in the world that are married, and I am not. So thank you.
Ashley, again, there is a weird lobster boy out there for you. I promise you that.
I bet he fingers really good.
He probably reads all of Jordan Peterson's work, and, you know, he just... He's just like, they talk about me in this book of the lobster. That is, he's actually talking about me. He's I am the lobster in it.
God. Anyway, it made you so sad.
I like you. Just attract a sea of incels, and for that we thank you. Welcome to Quality Time, everybody. I'm your host Eric Woodworth, and I'm joined by my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I'm sorry. Who's on the program this evening?
That's right. It's me, Chad Renner.
Chad Renner?
The original problem child man.
John Ritter, the original problem child man.
Yes. I heard you guys were doing problem child tonight, so I decided to join you.
I don't know why. I
couldn't get Chrissy to join us.
He's back from the dead. I'm so excited. Wow. John Ritter.
Love women.
Oh, man. Three is company, but not...
On the show, I had to pretend as if I was gay.
Oh, man. I was always had to brush off all those advances from Don Knotts.
Oh, Don loved it.
Oh, hey there, John. What's it look like to see your penis today?
Now, Don, stop trying to touch all the boys on the set there. You can't touch the boys when we're doing the show, even though you have a gun on you, okay?
All right. And that voice you hear in the background, who's currently muted herself because she was laughing too hard, is none other than the very lovely, the very talented, our sister, Miss Ashley Pontius. Ashley, how are you?
Hi, Daddy.
Yeah.
We're back to
Daddy. Yeah, it's really great that you call me your sister real, real hard right there. And I was like, oh, he's not going to like this.
It's an ancestral thing. Ashley was
just as long as his wife never hears this.
Well, she you didn't hear about this last week, Jeremy. Ashley came over here, and now she's part of the Woodworth cult. So welcome to that. Yeah. She is officially a cult member now.
She didn't handle the skull, did she?
She handled the fucking skull. Yeah.
We
showed her the shrine. She knows about our love of Bill. She's seen the Bill Paxton shrine, is what I wanted to tell you.
Well, you know, it's a special Indian head that nobody else is supposed to know about, but you know, that's college thing, so
yeah.
I've been wanting to be a part of the Woodworth family. Like, I've been wanting to be a Woodworth wife for a while, and I'm already pregnant. It's great. Like, we're already moving things along. Like we're gonna name all the kids something basic.
Yeah.
Well, it's the second week, and you got to learn how to field strip all your guns now. So.
Yeah, she's.
I can't wait till he starts beating me in this mission.
I don't. Well, I've really become the monster in this game.
You are never supposed to cry, or else you strangle them to death.
Cry.
Yeah, I can't wait till Tracy and me and Erica form.
Yeah, Erica Woodworth. There you go.
Erica Woodworth. I can't wait till me and Erica Woodworth form an alliance and we escape in 10 years together.
Yeah, she's got we're building the extra room in the bunker for her now. It's going to be really fun. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it more than anything.
I don't ever want to see the light again.
There you go. You won't.
Is she ready for the special blanket for when we all commit suicide?
Yeah, we got it. We have all the lodge blankets. We have all our Keds shoes ordered. Actually, no, I think we shouldn't go Heaven's Gate Keds. Maybe we get I think we go Skechers. We get Skechers. We wear Skechers wheelies. Oh. like the little Heely wheelies, and that's part of our cult identity.
I mean, that's cool. I also think it would be very like on brand for us if we like all wore the traditional Converse All-Star.
Oh, can we modify it to have a Heely in the back of the traditional thing?
You can modify anything, just like my personality.
There you go. We just need, all right. Tommy Cimbazzo, I got to get him on the constructing of Converse Heelys, and then that's the only thing holding this fucking thing back. Jeremy, I wanted to say welcome back to the land of the living. You were in the hospital. We were worried sick.
Did I miss an episode?
You gave us you missed a whole episode last week in the hospital. We did, what's it called? Demon Night last week. Jeremy, you got any thoughts about Demon Night before we talk about your trip?
Yeah, Billy Zane was very nice when I met him. I didn't even have any money, and he gave me a free signature.
Aww. And
I think I complimented him because I said Demon Knight was my favorite role that he ever did. So,
well, oddly enough, Demon Knight is actually Billy Zane's favorite movie he's ever done. He said that multiple times. He said it's my best performance. It's the most fun I ever had doing it. And we also talked about his cameo. You know, he's on Cameo. Can you guess? Do you want to take a stab at how much a cameo from Billy Zane costs?
Like $400.
That is very close. It's $500. It's $500.
Oh
bucks
my fucking goodness!
For a
cameo.
You know,
Charlie Sheen doesn't even charge that much.
Yeah. You could get a cheaper Tiger Blood one for that much. But I will say, if you watch his cameos, if you watch a cameo from the great Billy Zane, he's very good. He's a big dick on him. He was just like, you know, your friends wanted me to come on here and call you an asshole, but I wasn't going to do that because you seem like a nice guy and a real piece of shit. And he'll lay into people. It's great. He has a lot of fun with it. I enjoy it.
Well, let me dive deep and dive deep into my affliction last week. And
Take us to the start.
Back from Pittsburgh at 3 a.m. in the morning. I pull into a gas station. I was a little bit congested, and I was like, got to clear this congestion. So I hock a big-ass loogie, and that just opened up the fucking floodgates so that all of a sudden I am just, like, dripping like a volcano everywhere at this gas station.
Like Ashley after seeing a guy with actual two arms and no lobster claws. I gotcha.
I was just about to say, Jeremy, give me a second. I need to go get a towel.
Like the first time she saw Chris Restivo.
Oh, Chris Restivo. He is an incel that likes people, and Ashley doesn't really leak him, and he will be on the podcast, and Ashley will stab him, and she doesn't really want to do that much.
What?
I don't know.
I will not stab him. Oh. I'll stab you.
You know, looks for one thing, but then when he opened up his mouth, hey, how you doing, baby? Like, wow, winner.
So. I can't wait to disappoint him.
Doesn't Chris Restivo, I know we're going into your story, Jeremy, but Chris Restivo looks like a guy in like a Scorsese film that like roughs up a prostitute that then like the hero has to reluctantly beat the shit out of in an alleyway, right? Like, come here, baby, I paid my $20 and I'm gonna get my money's worth. And like, and then they're like, hey pal, I might be on heroin, but I'll kick your ass. And then, you know
what? You are right. I'll kick his ass.
There you go. Yes, the idea of Ashley not being able to take Restivo is very funny to me. Like, clearly, you would pulverize him.
Hey,
so, at this gas station where I started bleeding profusely, it literally looked like someone was shot right outside my car. And I go inside and I get something from the cashier, and he's like, oh, your nose is bleeding. And thank God this fucker cashier gave me the best paper towels I could to get home. And shove up my freaking nose.
Jeremy, so, would you call the level, what would you give like the flow count? Like how is it like a faucet that's like turned on just a little bit? Is it stream or is it drips right now?
It was big ass drips, like fucking heavy rain, like chubby rain from fucking Bowfinger.
Okay.
And if I let it drip like freely, I definitely could have done a teaspoon every minute easily.
Oh my gracious. So you're spewing blood everywhere. You know what we missed out on this, Jeremy? Is it would have been great if this ever happens again. can we go to like a place and we'll set up like a whole bunch of wires and stuff, like of like things on the wall, and then you walk in and you're like, please don't make me angry, and then just start bleeding, and then we'll start yanking the cords so it looks like you're just moving things off of the shelves and shit.
The thing is, you try to coagulate and make it stop, and it wouldn't stop, but it would just fill up, my whole nose would just fill up like a fucking tea kettle, and to the point where it wasn't bleeding out the right nostril, but it eventually overflowed to the right nostril, so I had to plug up both nostrils. And the other thing is, I would have gone to a hospital had I actually had insurance.
Yeah.
I would have gone a lot sooner.
So, do you want me to play your song about this? Is this a good time
there.
To?
I'll try to close this up. And my friend, my BFF, is like screaming and telling me to get to the fucking hospital after 12 hours. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I finally relented because I was so tired to try to get it to stop up, and it wouldn't stop bleeding. So. I get into the hospital, I'm sitting there, the doctor comes in and looks at it and finally unplugs it, which every time you unplug it, it is the most frightening, disgusting coagulation that comes out with the towel every time, kind of like a slug of a gelatin booger. And the other thing is, as the blood was flowing out of my nose, I literally spewed blood all over her scrub. Wasn't in her mask, and I was like, I'm so sorry. She was literally, it was like a literally like fucking cave painting. If I had my hand, I could have like made my handprint on her fucking scrub top.
Every time, like, I imagine when it unplugs, it's like one of those things from Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, like that they put in the ears. That's what just comes out of your nose, but in blood every time.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I felt really guilty because I didn't want to say anything, but Eric can attest to this. I think it's my fault because I think I made our cycle sync up.
The other thing is, I think the whole reason that this happened is because I made myself anemic by taking too much aspirin.
Taking a little bit too much of the old aspirin.
Yeah. Okay. So I decided to make a song about it.
So. Okay. So here's the song about with Jeremy. Here we go.
They sure get stuck in your throat. Clots. And your nose.
Clots.
They're just bloody boogers. Sometimes the size of a golf ball. The nosebleed just won't stop. So you just stick some paper towels up your nose until your entire nasal cavity is filled, absolutely filled with blood.
Clots.
You might be dying.
Clots.
From lots of blood, like a boxer.
Clots.
Or maybe somebody who took too much cocaine.
Clots.
Clots. They sure don't taste good. They taste like blood.
Clots.
Oh, like a big giant.
Clots.
Like a big wormy slug inside your head.
Clots.
Nothing like pulling them out and licking them on your tongue. All that nice blood pouring everywhere. It's okay. You're just dying.
Clots.
Clots. It sure is hard to breathe.
Clots.
Oh, let's swallow another one.
Clots.
The size of a golf ball.
Clots.
Why is it still going?
Hey.
Oh, Jeremy, you and your clot song.
You know who I think deserves this for Christmas?
Who's that?
Need to make a special CD for our Uncle Jeff.
Our Uncle Jeff. Jeff would love this.
Oh, this is a really great song. Hey. I mean, the way you cough in and everything, I can really feel it.
Hey, Jeremy, I just want to say, out of all your music that you ever did, that one about where you coughed for 2 minutes straight is probably my favorite song ever. You know, really, it's like listening to Steely Dan for the first time to me. It's very similar to like a young Steely Dan. You ever hear the Cough Steely Dan album?
You know who you should send this to? You should send this song to Jackson Browne.
Yeah, you're hey Jerry, you remember in 1983 when we listened to that Jackson Browne album and I was coughing over top of it like I do every 2 seconds when people are around me? Hey, you put that to music and it was like me listening. It's like somebody listening to the Beatles for the first time.
Ashley, we probably haven't brought up since you've been on the show our sweet Uncle Jeffrey, who is a severely schizophrenic man who Jeremy at one time had to house, I think, for 24 hours, and it has permanently scarred him.
not since I've been on the podcast, but I have heard it in the back catalog, and it's quite funny. It actually is one of my favorite episodes when you first brought that story up. I'm going to need a minute. My head hurts.
Watch out for the clots. Watch out for the clots.
You know, Eric.
Oh, by the way, when I played this song for my wife, she had to see the worst of it when I had to clear myself in front of her, and I said, "Honey, just close your eyes." But just the sound alone of when I pulled that sucker out of my nose, and she literally was almost gonna vomit.
Jeremy,
she has a thing about mucus also.
Hey, do you know true or false, Ashley? True or false? Jeremy sent me a picture of his trash can that I can only be described as, like, it looked like the trash that somebody who was like a field medic in World War I would throw away, like packing and stuff.
True, because I'm pretty sure you told me this and you cried.
Yes, first of all, and I was like, oh my God, is this, this was Thursday he sent me this. I was like, are you bleeding again? And he was like, oh no, this is just my trash can right now. He hasn't emptied the trash that's filled with blood in like almost a week. Is it still there?
You know, if you empty out one trash can, make sure that one's at the bottom of the bag because you just don't want to see any remnant of it ever.
Well, what if you keep it, though, as like a warning to the rats?
Yeah.
Like, don't come over here.
No, the rats would probably chew all that blood, all that dried blood up, because that's what they do.
Ooh, after they get the taste of jammy, they can't get away.
Oh, so of course, when I went to the hospital, they shoved that one of those big balloons, those balloon dildos, into your nose. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that hurt! She pumped that fucker up so that it was just enough to be painful, and I had to feel that for 2 days in my head, and it was just a living hell. So,
but they were able to stop the bleeding, which is good, right?
Yes, and when the ENT, I trigger. And ass, whatever that stands for, pulled it out, and it started bleeding again because just as it wasn't really cauterized, he cauterized that sucker very fast and very efficient. I was very thankful.
Hell yeah. Nice. Well, you're back out on the streets. Your nose hasn't been bleeding for at least a couple hours, and you did it. I'm glad. I'm glad now.
Yeah, that was a big wake-up call for me for how fat and my hypertension, and I barely drank and really almost ate sensibly this week, almost.
All right. Maybe this was the wake-up call you needed. I'm glad. I'm hoping
I lost a half pound this week.
Fuck yeah, dude. Hell, that's one quarter pounder off the diet. I like it. I don't know if we're going to go over this. First of all, Ashley, are you going to do Honest Ash today?
I can, as long as I'm not holding this up.
No. Let's get a little bit of this. Oh, and it's about that time again for another segment of Honest Ash. And here's Ashley Pontius.
Hello, listeners. I just wanted to let you know that last night I did a Zoom show.
Well, you muted yourself. You muted yourself.
I muted myself.
You're back again. Go for it.
I was just proving a point. So last night I did a Zoom show, and I thought I was muted. And I did machine gun farts, as Eric calls them. I realized that everybody heard it. Yeah, I will not be invited back. This has been Honest Ash.
Join us next week for more machine gun farts with more Honest Ash. Wow, yeah, so you were, wait a minute, you were on a Zoom conference call for comedy. Yes. And as it was going on, you were like, oops, got a little bubbling and a gurgling. Let me just throw the mute on here. And you let loose St. Elmo's fire right
like
in there.
My cheeks were shoved so hard into my office seat that I could feel it rumble. And I was like, oh, yeah, get them out. No one will know.
It's not like the normal video chat where you're supposed to put the camera right at your anus when you're farting.
No. This is one where they wanted to see my face while I was doing it.
You're thinking OnlyFans. There you go.
I want my new music name to be Machine Gun Ashley.
Wait, what was people's reaction when they heard this?
I almost wouldn't have known it was happening because people were super nice about it. But I realized at the very last one that, like, as it went, that someone was like, I was like, oh. I looked down at the microphone symbol and I went, everybody heard me just blow out my butthole. And then I was up next to perform, which makes it even better. And then as soon as that was over, I was like, well, I can't tell these people that I need to go take a shit. So I was like, I'm going to go get water. It's, oh, God, this is horrible.
One of my favorite Monty Python jokes on the show is where they're in court and the guy says, excuse me, judge, can I be excused? And he's like, what do you need to be excused for? And all of a sudden he makes a fart that sounds like an air horn from a ship. He's like, brrr, and he's like, well, why did you say you had to? He's like, I didn't know the right court technical term, so.
Yeah, I'm super embarrassed, and yet I know that this is who I am. Like, I can't change, you know, I can't change my butthole. I can't change my digestive tract. It's just the way it
is. I don't remember much about school, and I don't remember much about what I learned in math class. But I do remember the day that we were taking a test and made one of the biggest farts during that test. So much that even the teacher was like, Jeremy! That's really impressed about.
So. I want you and I to have a fart off, but that's neither.
Oh, yeah.
And Eric has to be the judge.
By the way.
It's the moment I've been waiting for up until now. Yes. Yes.
By the way, I have been known as the 1 minute farter. And
look, Jeremy, you're good at a lot of things, but this is the time for you to back it all up. We want to see you and Joe go at it in Dig Dug, and you and I go at it in a fart off. That's
yeah, this is the quality time Olympics.
I will give you my special weapon, and my special weapon was a mix of Taco Bell burritos and Country Club beer.
Country Club beer. Are you familiar with Country Club beer, this fine malt liquor?
Yes. Well, look, I get it. It's very powerful. Good for you. But I will one up you, Jeremy, and I will let you know that I have a uterus and they're particularly loud and proud.
Oh, wait a second. We weren't talking about queefs. We're just talking about farts.
Yeah. Oh, no. It still affects your other systems.
Okay.
I've noticed that Jeremy drinks this horrible beer. Country Club, if you've ever had a sip of it, if I were to describe how it's made, I truly believe that, like, the makers of Country Club just go to college campuses and in the morning when all of the floaters are left, they just pour that into a vat, and that is what they repackage as Country Club malt liquor. It is
foul. I've never tried it, so now I definitely
will. Jeremy, speaking of things that we'll probably have to edit out of this show, yes. you worked on a little Christmas song before we get into tonight's
film. Thought we were going to do a special episode, mini episode for that. But
a mini episode for that? Okay, we can save it for another time.
You don't have to.
I would be okay with that.
I was fine if you didn't. I just threw it out yesterday.
It's up to Ash. We'll leave it to her. Do we do this song today?
I would love to, as long as it's not inconveniencing
specifically Eric because of all the work he always ends up having to do.
No, so. If I don't have to show prep and do a mini fucking Christmas episode, that's fine. I don't care. We'll do okay. that. All right,
I was just questioning a little personal and a little bit of a little Christmas talk and the songs.
Can I, without, I won't give away it, but let's just listen to the beginning of this song and we'll tease our Christmas special show just for this, okay? Here we go.
Don't play anymore. Don't play anymore. Just,
you know Adolf Hitler and Goebbels and Hillary, Heydrich and Mengele, Robert and Eichmann. But do you recall the second most important Nazi of all?
Okay, we'll just leave it at that as the teaser for the Christmas episode that's coming up. I will say that this song did tickle the hell out of me, but we'll just tease that to hear the other minute and 52 seconds of this song. We'll play that on a future, probably the next app.
Yeah,
I was very touched for this Christmas because nobody's ever done like a song about Rudolph. So.
Yeah, nobody's ever done a song about Rudolph.
Yeah, no, not a Christmas song about him.
So anyway, let's get into tonight's topic. There's no Joe Robinson, no new Joe Robinson corrections. We did those
last
week.
That's because we're perfect.
Yeah, we nailed this week.
You can't complain about anything.
Yes, that is true. He can't.
We're fucking smart, like Christmas Steve-O.
I don't know if that's true at all.
I go to the strip club.
Today we're going over the 1972 classic. Oh, the other.
And killing rats with our hands.
So, yeah, 1972's The Other. The movie that we had to all have to watch a single DVD of, you own the only copy of this movie, I think, Jeremy. I don't know who's ever seen this.
You want to watch this movie that we got? There's no chance.
Yeah, you can't watch this movie. It's, why? How you even know about this? Jeremy, how did you even come in contact with this movie, The Other?
I bought it when it was still in circulation, probably 10 years ago, and I think I even got a bootleg. So I actually had another bootleg copy, but it's something I've known about since I was a kid, even though I didn't see it when it first came out in 72. I saw probably when it came out again on TV in like 76 or 78.
So this was actually on television at one time?
I think so, and it might have. I think it went straight. I think it was straight in the theaters, but it was a very short run. But yeah.
And the only actor in this movie of any note that I know of is the great late John Ritter. John Ritter is in this film for not very much, actually. He's in it for a couple minutes.
Wait, you're saying that Uta Hagen isn't a great actress?
I mean, she does a fine job, Miss Uta Hagen, but she. I was going to go and pull up clips of her in this movie, and we were going to play a fun game called Is It Uta Hagen or Is This the Chick from Drag Me to Hell?
Yes.
It's really hard to guess the two of them.
You shamed me.
You shamed me. You shamed me.
You know, if Uta Hagen had only had a creepy fucking dead eye...
Yeah, I agree. If she just had that, it would have been fucking pretty good. But I didn't label my audio well enough back in the Drag Me to Hell days to find a good clip of her. But
I just want to say with my prep time and with my laziness, it didn't make the cut because I was going to make a song called Uta Hagen Das.
Ooh, Uta Hagen Das. All right.
Yeah.
So this movie opens up and we get to meet the two young boys, Niles and Holland, who are just up to some mischief up on the farm, getting into the next door neighbor lady's pickle jars, I believe.
Wait, you're not going to start with just sweet Niles sitting out in the field and he's... and he's admiring his beautiful ring out in the sunshine.
Oh yeah, looking at his beautiful ring, which will come in later. We'll learn more about the ring that he's looking at and how beautiful it is. I thought it was very fun. I actually wrote down what it says on the back of the DVD that you brought, Jeremy.
You're gonna spoil it for everybody.
Should
even
we spoil
nobody
it?
Can ever see this.
You can't ever see this movie, so I don't know how we're spoiling it. But
of course,
this is this horror film helmed by legendary director Robert Mulligan. By the way, can you name another Robert Mulligan film? Because I can't.
Of course.
Hey, he directed To Kill a Mockingbird, like the 1950s.
Yeah, well, that's
pretty big. That's actually
it provides enough twists and turns to keep you guessing until its shocking end.
Who you want to kill in this trial? You want to kill a mockingbird? It's because he's black. That's why you want him to die. Whereas, you know, it's the creepy guy in the corner, Robert Duvall, who's the real killer you need to kill. That's right. This is to kill a mockingbird. It's a wonderful life, okay?
But this movie takes place as mysterious accidents befall a family in the Depression area in rural Connecticut.
Depression area.
I said era. I said Depression era.
Yeah, Depression area. I love it.
Did I say area?
I mean,
I love it. I shouldn't have corrected you. I should have given that one to Joe.
I can barely read.
But
he corrected himself. It's fine. We've already addressed it. We don't need Joe. no, but... Connecticut is a depressing area, let's be honest. And when I met this cast of characters, I was like, holy shit, no wonder people keep dying, because I wouldn't want to live there either.
At least John Ritter has like a cool ass fucking hobbit name called Ryder.
Yeah. Now the two twin boys in this movie, who are Niles and Holland, are played by twin brothers Chris Orvandowski and Martin Udovansky. I can't.
Udovansky.
Way too many fucking consonants in that name. Should have dropped them off at Easter Island, if I'm being honest with you. But they hired these twin actors, and as we get further into the movie, I don't know why they had to hire twins to do this movie. So an important note there. Maybe already spoiled the movie, but oh well. So they are getting into mischief, and Niles always seems to be the one who's getting in all the trouble, because Holland is a bit of a troublemaker, let me tell you. He's always getting into mischief, causing problems around the farm. We eventually get to a part where, through a flashback, we get to see that the death of their sweet father, who Holland actually just, as he's walking down the steps of the barn, slams the door on his dad's head and actually murders his own father. And then they, yeah, so it starts with Holland murdering his dad, pretty much. And we do see that. What was the other kid's name? The really annoying kid in this movie. It's like
I am super excited about this. Piggy Lookadoo.
Piggy Lookadoo.
Which I could not determine whether that was some sort of nickname or this motherfucker's real name, because I gotta tell you, boys, I'm sure this is not a shocker. I've had some nicknames in my day, like BFWB, like backup friends with benefits, and
nice.
And the turtle, and like all kinds of horrible nicknames. But I've never, thank God, been called Piggy Goddamn Lookadoo. That is awful.
The weird thing they don't tell you that is that he's actually Piggy Lookadoo the second. He's not even a junior. He's the third in the line of
off camera. I can tell you who I think the first is.
So, I think my last worst nickname was by a really disgustingly toothless crackhead guy that I worked with at work, and he nicknamed me Tetra.
Tetra, because you feed all the fish with your skin.
Yes, because that's the fish.
Oh,
yes.
I did remember hearing about that.
I like your better name when you lived with the other crackhead who just called you Jasma. Hey, Jasma.
Yes, the 90-year-old painter man who could barely speak. The guy at work, it was sounded like this with his teeth. Hey, Tetra, what you doing? I wrote no Tetra. I just wanted to kill him.
I'm so sorry. I once refused to shave my legs because, you know, lazy. And a boyfriend once called me a tarantula.
Oh,
wow. Nice.
It teased me for a while. It was stupid. I'm like, don't complain about it if you're not going to do anything.
Yeah, it's so, not like you're rubbing your face up and down these legs. Come on.
So
yeah,
Piggy Lookadoo is wearing their dead dad's ring, and the boys don't like that. That's a big deal.
I didn't even pick up on that, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you'll see why when after they get the ring back from him, why they're going to be pretty mad at Piggy Lookadoo, or at least in particular, Holland is.
Does it mean, did he have like food on his face halfway through?
He literally looks like a kid nowadays who would like be way too into Thomas the Tank as like a 13-year-old boy, right? Like that's the vibes that.
Well, it's funny that his name is Piggy Lookadoo because I noticed he like the dirt all over his face and he looked messy. And my first thought was, oh look, it's Pigpen from Charlie Brown.
Yes, he's very much like a Pigpen. He looks like he has his fun the old-fashioned way, playing in a mud pit with my train toys. That's just the perfect afternoon for him.
Can I explain an important plot point that Eric might have missed?
Is, okay.
When Niles first comes into the kitchen with his family, they're actually looking in a paper about the kid that murdered the Lindbergh child.
Oh. And
also, that's the first time when the John Ritter character calls him out on how he is a witch and he's into witchcraft because he knows what the child is going to be before coming out and everything.
Right.
Another important part. And also, you'll find out later in the bedroom. I didn't notice this until how many viewings. I forget the fucking guy's name. But Niles has a little picture that he draws on his wall.
Drugs.
And the actual name of the guy who steals the baby, the Lindbergh baby, I want to say Werner von Braun, which is completely wrong. It's a fucking German name, something Brown or something.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, I think I'd have to do another view of the movie to catch that stuff. And I love you, Jeremy, but that's not happening.
So we do meet his sweet grandmother Ada, or as I like to lovingly call her, Babushka, and she basically shows him how to use The Shining and invade the mind of a crow. And I've ripped some of this audio because I guess, well, let's just give it a listen because it's kind of unsettling just to listen to this audio of an old lady talking to a young boy here.
Now think as I have taught you. Look around. Feel inside it. Into its head. Its heart. Imagine it, Ushka. Imagine it. All your being.
So like she's fucking this kid, right? Or no?
No, I'm talking about,
this is great, man.
No, but I told Eric I was so uncomfortable because at one point while I was watching the movie, I just stepped to the side to my kitchen to get a cup of coffee, so I'm not looking at the screen, but all I hear is just this heavy breathing, and it's like a deeper, harder, and I'm like, oh, what is she looking at this kid? Is that what you made me watch this for?
This right here. Quick, take yourself out of the body as the molest happens. Pretty bird.
Mark. It's scary. What is it like now? Hey.
Stroke it harder.
Look at me.
Woo! And then we get to... We get to see young Niles flying around as a crow up in the sky, which is
I hate to say, the first couple of times I saw this, I really hated the soundtrack because it was so happy in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, oh, she's teaching him witchcraft and getting into the soul of a crow, and there's all this happy music like, yeah, you're joining Satan. It's really great, you know.
It's almost like Harry Potter.
And also. And also, I really do love this movie, and Eric hated it, that this is Jerry Goldsmith doing it, the same guy that did Aliens and the Star Trek theme. So.
I don't hate the score and the soundtrack. No. I think I'll get to the problems with it as we take people through. I'll save them for the end. Now,
the German guy that stole Lindbergh's kid was Bruno Hauptmann.
Bruno Hauptmann, classic, yeah. Bruno move.
Yeah.
That's actually Sacha Baron Cohen's next movie is about a funny Bruno Hauptmann.
A gay guy that steals babies.
Yeah, he's a gay guy that steals babies. There you go. Boom. Another bit done. So look, there's while this is all happening, Holland goes into the barn and then sets up a pitchfork, kind of like tilted upright in the thing of hay. And then we see Piggy Lookadoo having the time of his life when he's about to go jump into the hay, and he goes, oh, and he jumps right on the pitchfork like a big dumb idiot. So
another thing is while he's doing The Shining with the crow, he feels the impact on his chest, just like,
oh right,
he's dying as well.
Yeah, so they have to go to the funeral for the fat kid, and we get to see we get to see Niles look at his finger with his he has a finger of his dead dad in a little tin that he carries around.
No, it isn't.
Isn't it the finger? The whole finger?
Not of his dad, no.
Oh, okay. Did I fuck that up?
You missed that, didn't you?
I missed that. I thought that was his dead dad's finger.
No. Well, no, because that'll be revealed at the end, right, Jeremy? Whose finger that is?
Yeah, that was part of the reveal.
Okay, well, he has a severed finger in a tin.
I love Jeremy and I tag teaming against Eric. Wow. Weren't you paying attention?
Oh, God. Another thing is that
I show prep every week. Okay, maybe I didn't do my strongest because I had it for a limited amount of time.
You were writing something
doubled,
down.
I double show prepped for Demon Knight and this movie in 1 week, and maybe I didn't give this one the attention it deserved. Okay, so I'm going to rely on my gang here.
I guess two of the 20 reasons I love this movie, they go to mess with the neighbor's house, and of course when they're stealing food there's rats in her garage, and another thing is that Piggy's own pet was actually a rat that,
yes,
once he decides to tell on the boys, Holland goes up and takes his rat out and kills it in his hand.
Yeah, does choke that rat out. I remember that.
I made a note that said, I had a note for two things. I said, one, Jeremy chose this movie because of the rats. And two, I made a note because I find it funny that I think whenever he kills the rat, he goes, of course, Piggy Lookadoo's got rats as a pet. I was like, that rat got stiff real quick.
I think Jeremy likes it because he didn't actually know. He's like, wait a minute, you could just choke them out if they get close enough? Okay.
I've been using BB guns for so long and wasting BBs when I could just kill them with my bare hands.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know. I like to stroke them and cuddle them until they stop moving.
So
you know, this really goes. I mean, how many serial killers, they start by like killing animals when they're young? So, and also, I caught up on a Twilight Zone that I, out of the 30 of them, I thought I knew almost every single Twilight Zone. There's still a couple I haven't caught. There's one where this guy is a jewel thief and he gets shot by the cops and he wakes up as an angel. Or no, he wakes up and an angel's there to meet him. And finally he gets curious. He's like, hey, angel, why don't you take me to my records? I mean, I'm obviously in heaven, but I don't remember doing anything good. So the angel takes him to the Hall of Records, pulls out his case file. He's like, let us look at your records here. It says from age 6, you killed a puppy dog.
That is some dark shit. Because I got to tell you, I didn't want to say anything and I've never brought it up before, but I definitely have suspected that Eric has always been a serial killer because of all that pussy he slays.
Oh, Woo! Look at that.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Wow. That's
they
news.
Line him up at the fucking comedy place.
That's news to me. Okay.
Maybe some left.
I'm a good fan of Metallica, but I'm a real fan of Pussy Slayer.
Yeah, yeah, brother. Jeremy, I've been going through recently and watching all of the Tales from the Crypt because I have all of the seasons on Divid that I got last year. And I was going through season two, and man, I forgot about a gem of an episode of Tales from the Crypt. Do you remember the episode that has the guy from Sledgehammer who goes, "I want a cookie"? And
Sid Haig.
Is it Sid Haig? I thought it was a different guy. I thought it was a different guy other than... Maybe it is Sid Haig. Well, there's one episode, I get, because it's not Sid Haig who's the lead, and I can't remember what the fuck he's from or how to explain it to you. But in this episode, there's two big stars in it. One is Katie Sagal, who's dressed as a goth, like a fucking hot goth chick.
You're talking about she's the heavy metal chick, and Sam Kinison is the voice in his
head? Yes, and the voice in his head is Sam Kinison, the great
Sam
Kinison.
No, that bald guy was just in Pirates of the Caribbean, and I just met him.
Yes,
he was also
okay.
Brain dead as the guy who's like, that's my fucking brain.
Yes. Yes, that guy. All right, yes. But I'd forgotten all about that episode. I was like, man, that's hot Katie Sagal right there. Look at that. And then
I hate to say, when I met him, I said, I wish I had a fucking big jar with a brain in it to meet you. So
I also just think it speaks to Sam Kinison's comedy, who probably was one of my early inspirations, that if he was stuck in your head, you would just want to kill yourself, which is...
Hey, is that why everybody's looking at you? Because you have a big Q-tip sticking out of your ear?
just hearing that.
Kill me! Kill me now!
So,
by the way, you know, Bill Paxton might be dead, but at least we can still meet Bill Pullman.
So next, the boys head to a carnival, which I feel like, Jeremy, this was your favorite part of the movie, because there's actual real freaks and lobster people.
Lobster man in the scene?
No, but there is a guy who I just labeled as heroin Aquaman. I don't know if you saw this guy. He's dressed like he's Aquaman, but he looks like he's clearly done more heroin than Keith Richards. It's the best way to describe it.
What about the elephant man guy?
Yeah, there's a real elephant man guy. He's like, hey, you kids shouldn't be looking at these dead babies in a jar. If you guys got to move along out of here.
And I didn't look it up. I'm ashamed of myself. I didn't look it up, but just at a glance at the midget that they had in it, I think it was the same midget from Beyond Thunderdome.
You think so? Wow.
I think it might have been him.
It could be.
It might have been E.T. E.T. might have been in. That might have been the same guy as E.T.
Okay.
Well, before we get right into the scene, I'll just let you guys know, I made a note, because, you know, I am really touched by how culturally sensitive this film is towards those of Asian descent.
Oh, yeah. There is... There is a man who is dressed as an Asian person doing magic, and I pulled an audio clip here because the kids are baffled about how they do it, and this is Holland and Niles talking about the guy who clearly is not a man of Asian descent showing the magic. Here we go.
It's just a stupid trick. He ain't even a Chinese. Just got tape on his eyes.
He's not even a Chinese. He's got tape on his eyes, which is accurate. There's just a white guy who's doing basically breakfast at Tiffany's right now. And
it was one of the most upsetting things. Like, I won't give anything away, but there's some other upsetting things in this movie. Somehow this still upset me more. I'm not sure why.
But they are
He's no Peter Lorre, I'll tell you that.
But the kids are able to watch him closely and realize that he disappears by slipping through a trap door and then coming in the back. So
did you know Peter Sellers' last movie was him as Dr. Fu Manchu?
No, I'm not familiar with that that piece of work. But yeah, I'd
and
like
also
to watch.
My favorite Peter Sellers movie is The Party, where he plays an Indian man at a party and he's the biggest dolt in the world. So
okay, nice. You know, it was a different time back then, where actors were allowed to basically play stereotypes. It was really fun.
You made me want to watch Short Circuit today. So.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't realize that guy until recently. That guy is just a white dude who plays Johnny Five. That guy is just a regular white guy. It doesn't really hold up. as much anymore.
Damn, I forget his other one role that he had. I think it was Real Genius or something.
Anyway, so after they leave there, I did rip just this little audio after.
You mentioned the pickled pug.
We mentioned there's a pickled baby. I thought it was a baby in a jar, but it's a pug.
Yeah, that's
dog.
What a pickled pug is yeah. called. Is what a baby is in a jar.
Okay, yeah. So they
in carny talk.
In carny talk, this is a pickled pug collection over here. As you can see,
not really pugs.
Listen, Jeremy, yeah, I rely on you for your extensive clown and carny knowledge. So,
yeah. Oh, I wish I knew. Oh, by the way, a really good movie called Carney starring Jodie Foster and Gary Busey.
You know, Carney is, I've never watched it, but that is one of the, in the professional wrestling world, the movie Carney is like a must watch for any wrestler. Because all the terms that they use in wrestling, like Mark and stuff like that, all stem from that movie Carney. And professional wrestling actually started at carnivals, so it's an important watch. A lot of old school wrestlers like, you never seen the movie Carney? Then get the fuck out. You can't even be a wrestler unless you've seen that. So it's important.
This is so upsetting.
Well, it's the term when they call they refer to people in the carnival world as well as wrestling, people who consume the things that they sell, which is illusions and stuff like that. They call them marks, and the reason why is if you looked like you had money, they would come by with a piece of chalk and then mark, like throw some chalk at the back of your boot heel so that you were marked. They were like, yeah, you should pay this guy attention because he's a guy that looks like a real sap. So they call those are marks.
Oh, so kind of like whenever I rub pussy juice on the back of guys at shows.
Yes, like, oh, there you go. You've marked
them.
You
are now marked. You actually, when you're wearing a dress, you just get a kind of squirt on them a little bit. So put your leg.
I try, yeah.
So next we get to see Grandma singing Niles to sleep after telling her about the magic trick that they saw. And I pulled a little bit of her singing. She just has the voice of an angel.
Malutka. Мой прекрасный, баюшки-баю, тихо смотрит месяц ясный в колыбель.
Oh, like the sweet voice of Miss Toomey right there, Jeremy.
Such a sweet song about killing the czars and how the Bolsheviks will rule the world and kill all the capitalists. It's a great song.
It's the rich, my dear sweet son.
Why does every movie we do since Midsummer just feel like it's tied to Midsummer? Like, what is this?
Yeah, you know, because foreigners, they're creepy and they're all devil-worshipping people that'll burn you alive in a bear suit, so. Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm super into the devil-worshipping, but you're right, foreigners are weird.
Next, we get to see Holland go apologize to that lady whose jar they broke earlier in the first scene. He felt real bad. He's dressed up as a magician with fake mustache and all, comes in, draws the curtains, pulls off his hat, and goes to show her a magic trick. And the magic trick is like, oh, you're going to pull a rabbit out?
A rabbit out of there, are you?
No. Guess again.
It's a rat, and it scares her to death to fall over, I guess. We don't really actually see, but it's assumed. We'll find out shortly after this that she's dead from seeing that.
I'm very sad. I guess you didn't clip any of that audio of her fine piano playing, so.
No, I didn't grab the piano playing.
Because, man, she is hot on the keys. Damn it.
I also made a note, not even about her music, but I did make a note earlier while watching the film where I was like, there are some hot ladies in this film, like some real tens, definitely doable.
I like how his assistant, the Chinese assistant, looked like she was from Brooklyn, New York or something. So
she looked like a crack whore. That chick has
Next, Niles goes and talks to his sweet grandma at the church. She eases his fears about death and things like that. Here's a little bit of that.
When I was very young, like you, I was frightened of death too. So to set my mind at peace, my babushka told me when it came time to that I must not be afraid. I must look for an angel who would come from paradise. And this angel would smile and fold me in her beautiful white wings and carry me off to heaven. Babushka called her Angel Svetlava Dnya, which means the angel of the brighter day. And from that time, I was no longer afraid of death.
There you go. No longer afraid of death after she learned that there was an angel that was going to ferry her to the other side.
Yeah, I've also been taught the same thing. His name is Lucifer.
Yeah.
So what Niles is really asking, like, hey, Aunt Babushka, if you kind of like murder people, does that mean you're going to go to hell, or can I just keep on murdering people normally? Is that bad? I mean, I just kind of murdered the neighbor. Does that matter?
Yeah, it's no big deal, right?
Doing the Lord's work.
So next, Niles brings his mom a new book from the library. We got to meet briefly earlier, and she actually called him Holland as Niles runs up, which she thought was kind of odd.
She's a useless mom.
She's hoping everything's going to be all right, but she's really clearly mentally damaged at the loss of her husband. He gives mom a special present, and then it's magic jumping beans. She accepts them with the enthusiasm of a mother of a retarded son, and it is just
Did you also notice how she looks out at the well, but you don't know why she looks at the well, and she's like ready to fucking lose it as well?
Yeah, she's always like seems on the brink of breaking. Next we see
a fragile woman.
Niles and Hayden and Holland talking about angels, and here we go.
Take me to wings, carry me off to heaven. That's what Ada says. How do you know she wouldn't take you to hell? Angels don't go to hell. Only bad people do.
Like you, Holland, you fucking rat killer. Fucking hand in your fucking hands, rat killer.
So, next...
Yeah, can I also mention one of my top five favorite things why I love this movie is that his mother is Kate Muldier from Star Trek, the most obnoxious doctor character on Star Trek that everybody hated because little Miss Gates McFadden had to get a little bit more money to stay on the show.
Ugh, gosh. They find finally Miss Rowe, who is dead, the next door lady who got scared to death with the rat. Niles goes to tell his family to call the constable, and it's worth noting that Niles, for like the rest of this movie, wears the shortest of shorts that I've ever. It's basically a Speedo that they parade this fucking kid around for the rest of the movie.
I have a note. I'm so excited. I have a note, literally, Eric. It says, these are some short with eight O's shorts.
Yeah, he's wearing shorts that basically would make a TikTok girl dancer like wince, like, ugh, maybe put on a little bit. You're showing a little bit too much skin here, pal.
Look, I haven't used the TikTok app that much, but I had an important question. How much are the prostitutes?
I don't know. As long I don't know. I think it's like it's something.
Jeremy, message me after.
I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Oh, give me the.
Holland then tells Niles he needs to go get his ring back, the old ring back from his mom. It's not hers, it's theirs. But he tries to take the ring, and during this process of trying to take the ring back, accidentally shoves his mother down the stairs, which paralyzes her for the rest of the film. So he cripples his mom trying to get his ring back.
But it wasn't first... Niles, it was Holland that did it.
It was Holland.
And Holland that just magically shows up at the same exact moment from like nowhere.
Right.
Because
first he cripples her emotionally and then he cripples her physically.
So, Niles then comes clean to Grandma about Holland killing Mrs. Rowe. She's not too happy about it, so she goes and brings him to Holland's grave, and shows him like his grave. Look, he is dead. So now we've had the reveal that Holland's been dead this whole time, and he's not actually a living person, but just somebody who is in Niles' head. Which brings me to my first problem with this movie: why the fuck did they hire twins in this film that they're never in the same shot together? They shoot them at different angles. They were like, no, but they're twins. We had to hire really shitty twin actors to make this, to pull this movie off, which they didn't. They could have hired like a good kid actor. Like we could have had a Ron Howard in this film just playing this entire thing, you know? So, next,
or at least Billy Mumy.
Yeah, Billy Mumy. Maybe a young, is Corey Haim alive in 72? I feel like, you know, you could have a young Corey Haim running around.
I don't even think he was born then.
Well, he's the 80s. He was a teenager, so he had to be a young adult.
Hold on,
here.
I'll Google.
He's probably
it.
Like 13 in like 82.
Well, this is 72.
Did you say Corey Haim or Feldman?
Both.
He said Haim.
Let's find one of the Coreys. Could one of the Coreys have been in this film instead?
Hold on. I'm working on it. Ooh, no, he could not have been. He was born December 23rd of 1971.
Oh, okay. Well, he could
have. Billy Mumy might have been pushing like 18 well, then, or 20 something.
He could have been the baby in this movie then. That would have been good.
He was in Lost Baby.
But he's a boy. It doesn't matter.
So, anyway. At that, he goes over to the grave and he sees the coffin and the and he has a flashback of the face and he goes here we go.
Thou shalt, you must.
Hold it! Hold it! Help me, please!
Say the truth now, out loud, so we shall both hear it. Colin is dead. Remember, on his birthday. He is dead, Miles. Remember.
Flashback.
Yeah, so he has the flashback of Holland falling down the well to his demise.
And why does Holland fall down the well?
And you tell us.
Because he's trying to throw a cat down the well.
Yeah,
because
he's a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, Babushka then tells him, tells Niles that he, she just went along with him seeing his brother.
Oh, my Dushka. I could not bear to see you so unhappy, to watch you all alone, so I pretended with you. I pretended Holland was alive because you wanted it so.
So she pretends, and then she also says, I think showing you all this witchcraft and then going in and being an enabler has kind of fucked you up a little bit.
Maybe I shouldn't have encouraged you to talk to the dead. Maybe that was a mistake.
So, Later that night, he has a dream about his dead-ass brother in the coffin, and his brother encourages him to play the game.
Think. Concentrate. Think hard. Play the game the way she taught you. You're good at the game. Go ahead and do it.
Play the game, little brother. And he tells him...
Can I also...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know I should have pointed this out earlier. I know this may be pointless, but can I also say, though, that if they're supposed to be twins, can I say that I found it super fucking annoying the entire movie when he would get called little brother? I'm like, are you really those people that are like, we had twins, but this one was born 2 minutes sooner. He's the older one. I'm like, fucking stupid. You deserve to lose one of them. Like,
yeah. No, I don't like it either. But
coming out of the womb is nothing because you were conceived at the same exact time.
Yeah.
Shit.
So he told.
Oh, because you breathed air before me. Whatever.
So, but he tells him to go take the ring off of his dead dad's finger.
That's his brother sitting there in the coffin.
Okay, so he's telling him to take off his brother's finger.
Yeah, he's talking to his brother in the casket.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he tells him to take the ring off his finger. Right?
Yes. Okay. His own finger that he's talking to him.
Okay.
But also, sorry, not to throw like for a loop, but I also didn't think it was his. Was it his father's ring originally?
Originally,
I thought it was.
Yes.
It was? Because why did I think it was.
Handed down to Holland.
But I thought it was handed down originally, like from Grandpa, Ada's husband.
Yeah, maybe.
No?
Yeah, Tim, probably. Okay.
But Holland, Niles can't get the ring off, and Holland pushes him to play the game more, but Niles doesn't want to play. Ada comes over and sees that he's just talking to himself in a room completely like a psychopath this entire time.
Now this is the part of the movie where it takes a totally different change, because now that he has the ring, he has to take it to a mountain and throw it into lava.
Yes, that's the only way to get rid of this cursed ring. Right. So next we get to see the new baby that comes to, as the relatives come over with a new baby. And she's just so beautiful. Everybody loves this new baby. But Holland is not totally crazy about this new baby. Niles then goes to read to his paralyzed ass mom and reads a little bit of the changeling to her. You get to hear the this little fairy tale that he reads to her.
Once upon a time, fairy tales always seem to begin like that, don't they? Once upon a time, there were some elves who happened upon a cottage in a wood, where they spied a baby in a cradle. The mother was nowhere to be seen, and the elves, being bad and mischievous creatures, who loved nothing so much as doing harm to others, stole the child and left in his place a changeling, an ugly creature of impish countenance that no mother could possibly love.
Fairy tales are fun, aren't they, Mom?
Especially when they're German or Italian elves. Like Bruno Hauptmann.
So, next we see either Holland or Niles go into the baby's room to go turn off the lights for the night. But when morning comes...
Can we most mention the most important part of that?
Yeah, go for it.
While he's reading the nice story, the look on his mother's face is like, oh my fucking gosh, you're gonna fucking do it, you fucking evil bastard! I know what the fuck you're gonna do! You fucking evil bastard!
So, but they find out after the lights go out that the baby is missing. Niles goes to tell his grandmother about it.
Where's the baby?
Holland's got the baby. He put the pain pills in your tea. He stole the baby. He's bad. He'll never go to heaven. Holland killed Russell. He took the pitchfork in the hay. He was mad because Russell saw the ring. The ring was mine. Holland gave it to me. He told me to take it. But he made me do it with the rose shears.
It's my precious.
But she found it. Holland pushed her down the stairs.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Holland wanted the ring. He always did. He killed Father. He pushed the door down on him. Holland! Holland! Where is the baby?
So,
that kid needs to do more cardio.
Why is he so out of breath? I don't know.
He is climbing the rafters, so.
So, Nana pleads with Niles that Holland is dead again. The townsfolk round up the town slow guy and basically say, you stole the baby, blah, 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 and they blame it all on him. And he's like,
blame it on the Italian.
I was going to say, not just because he's slow. They're like, it's the foreigner.
I'm just an Italian guy. Come on. He's like a pizza.
I was just drunk and I put a ladder up to the window. Hey.
So, but unfortunately, shortly after that, they do find the baby and it is a bucket that the baby.
Can we just mention that they blame it on the Italian because there isn't a black person around?
That is true. That is true. Yeah. But here's the big reveal that that would be the American way if we're being
exactly
honest.
So
they go over and look at this bucket and the townsfolk are pretty upset.
Oh my god, George, what happened?
Incidentally enough, this is actually every time I bust, this is what I do.
George, what is it?
I'm pretty sure this is how the end of the Goonies happened. So.
Yeah, yeah. So the baby
because they
is...
find out Sloth had all these jars of babies in it. So
there's just a drowned ass baby in a bucket, and which brings us to the exciting climax of this film, where Nana essentially goes in, and Holland is hiding in the basement of the barn where his father had been murdered years before, and she comes in and decides to just burn the whole motherfucking place down to the ground with sweet Holland, the evil son, hiding in the background with her, and it kind of flashes like these little scenes of like the angel that you see, like she's supposed to be the angel that's going to carry him to heaven or hell, I guess, in this in this sense, and all you hear is Holland scratching from the fucking basement door going, my only weakness! Oh! And, the whole place goes up in as she burns herself with Holland, and the townsfolk the next day are cleaning up the barn and the remnants, and we look up in the house major, and you could still see, I guess, sweet Niles or Holland. They're just sitting there still, just like, oh, I'm crazy as hell and still alive, and probably lots more bad things are going to happen. And that brings us to an end of the Woo! Other...
And Eric missed the fact that there was a lock on the bottom door of the barn that he couldn't escape from that he did cut open before.
I did see that.
Yeah, probably with the same shears.
But yeah. Eric thought that maybe he did die in the fire, and the angel did take him, because Holland did have a look on his face like, yeah, the angel is here for me. Awesome. That's great.
Nice. Oh, good. I'm still alive. So maybe the good son is alive. Who knows? The final thoughts on the other, gang.
Go ahead.
Oh, Jeremy. Oh, are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say... Holland started the fire. No, you know what? I actually had a good time. Wasn't mad. It was interesting. It was new to me. I enjoyed it, and I really get off on infanticide, so it's fine. You know, big thing.
Was it obvious from the get-go that Holland wasn't real, Eric?
Yes, there was no...
Yes, I thought it was obvious, but I will say that dead baby scene at the end just gave me such a rush.
Had to masturbate, of course, during that scene. So
yeah, I guess
I was like, oh my god, this reminds me of all the kids I got rid of.
I mean, if you've seen Fight Club a million times, the way they shoot this, it's so clearly like, oh, this other kid is like a ghost or an apparition. There's no way he's a real person in the world. Nobody else seems to see him. They shoot it, which begs the question, why the fuck did they hire two actors for this when it could have been one kid actor? Whoever's on production here really fucked the pooch here.
Well, that's the good thing. All horror movies are made for kids. And that, you know, after you've seen enough horror movies, there's nothing, no surprises anymore. It's like, oh yeah, that was the one. Oh no, there was the other one, because the one that they put as the obvious that was supposed to be it isn't it. So.
Well, it's like the original, like, split personality disorder trope in horror movies, as far as, like, I mean, how many movies have we seen since this time where, like, you find out, oh, you're both, you have multiple personality disorder.
But as adults, the only thing that makes it interesting are the parents' reactions, who know what's going on, but they're still like, what the fuck are we gonna do about this kid, you know?
Right.
I mean, as far as evil kid movies go, this doesn't even, I don't think, break my doesn't make my Mount Rushmore of them, you know. Like, The Good Son, great movie. Plus an evil Macaulay Culkin. That one is a good version of it. The Omen is another great fucking evil little kid movie.
Of course, he's Satan incarnate.
You know, this one just doesn't quite do it. And there's not a lot of gore. I think it's actually rated PG, this movie.
Yeah, it's almost TV ready, except for the kid at the end.
But
so.
Yeah, there's no, other than just, and you don't, there's no, like, visual stuff. Like, there's movies that are done much better, I think, that building tension and just from being shot, like the movie The Changeling, oddly enough, with the great George C. Scott, which is a great tension-building fucking movement, and I don't think there's anything cinematography-wise that blows me away in this movie, other than just the really shitty Eastern European acting by the sweet lady. That was my best takeaway from the film.
Well, and I don't normally like advocate for this because I generally hate it on principle, but I gotta be honest, I wouldn't personally be opposed if someone who had the right vision could revamp a version of this movie for modern times.
Like a Michael Bay, where there's like they put the baby in an exploding bucket and all the parts go everywhere, and then that would be really.
I want an Ari Aster with a hair pie.
I think you do it with Jan de Bont, and now all the people have nipples that show through the shirts through the entire movie.
I just
want
an entire hour of Al Pacino and De Niro just talking to each other at a table, just like, where are we going to find this baby? I don't know.
You go to find the baby, and if I don't find the baby, you'll find the baby.
The baby had
I'm
a great
gonna
ass.
Find that baby.
I want Haley Joel Osment to play Piggy Lookadoo.
He's a full-grown man, but he still plays the local slow kid.
I can see it. He just needs a shave.
I still think Shia LaBeouf can play both twins. So.
Both twins? Hell yeah. Shia LaBeouf. It's his boldest role ever, where he plays a 9-year-old boy as a 30-something-year-old man.
Yeah. You guys, I say we take it a step further. Let's see what Lindsay Lohan is up to.
Yeah, double L. The future is woman, and Lindsay Lohan as the other would be great.
As the mother.
Yeah. So.
She's already done twins before, and she played it beautifully. Let's do it again.
And then we can bring in Danny Trejo as the guy that they just gets killed for no reason. I was always good to you, Holland. I was good to you.
That's funny.
So that brings us to an end. Ashley, what do you got coming up?
Unfortunately, I don't have anything scheduled at this point into the new year. But you can always find me at Ashley Pontius Laughs on social media. And hopefully at some point I'll get my website finished.
Yeah, so check out the website. You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, Comedy with a C. The second Saturday shit show is free every second Saturday of the month, I think. I don't know. Check out Mike Quinlan's stuff. He does a great job. What do I got on the horizon? If you're listening to this the week it comes out, it'll be New Year's week, so come on out to Magoobie's Joke House to see me, Wendy Townsend, and Rob Mayer, Tommy Simbazo, as we roast the year of our Lord 2020, this godforsaken hellscape. Jeremy, take us out of here, man.
Oodle Haagen-Dazs!